Hey, it's Mastin. Welcome to the Mastin Kid Podcast. If you want to take your first step on your trauma-informed journey, come to claimyourpowerbook.com and get my book, Claim Your Power. There are a bunch of awesome free bonuses with that, including a 40-day coaching journey with me that will get you started on your trauma-informed path. Claimyourpowerbook.com. Enjoy. It's awesome. I put my heart and soul into it. And if you want to really start your journey to do your trauma work, claimyourpowerbook.com is the place to go to get my book, Claim Your Power, and to get a bunch of free bonuses, including free coaching with me for 40 days. Please enjoy today's episode.
You are listening to the Power and Purpose Podcast with bestselling author and life interventionist, Mastin Kipp. In today's show, Mastin chats with Victoria LeBalm, strategic performance coach and founder of Rock the Room. Victoria helps elite entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, top teams, and C-suite executives communicate with confidence, authenticity, and impact. She's worked with Marcel Marceau, yet works with online entrepreneurs and corporate execs. They're all coming to her because they want to make an impact, just like you. Victoria and Mastin examine what it is about good communication that requires a coach, how to find hidden genius, why people lose authenticity when they go on stage, the misconception of who they have to be on stage is different, why you are, as you are, is more than enough, and more. It's an empowering conversation about serving your audience, the through line, noble intent, imposter syndrome, and making an impact. Who you are is noble enough.
Hello, and welcome to the Power and Purpose Podcast. I'm your host, Mastin Kipp, and I'm thrilled that you're here today joining us on the podcast, and I am so excited to welcome you and to either introduce you to or reintroduce you to our guest today. Before I tell you a little bit about her, I want to tell you why she's here. She's here because she is a total badass, rock star, game changer. If you have a message that you want to bring forward into the world, if you have a dream of being able to speak in a way and communicate in a way that emotionally connects with people, it makes them laugh or cry or whatever it might be, and you want to really be your authentic self, and you could be communicating in a seminar, or you could be communicating on stage, it could even be one-to-one. It doesn't matter. If you have a desire to communicate with the world, meaning anyone outside your own head, I can't imagine a better person to introduce you to today. We are here with the one and only Victoria LeBalm, and she is a performance coach and guide. And she helps people really clarify and communicate their message in a way that is uniquely theirs, but I would also say in a way that is certainly not boring and creates emotional connection, because that's what it's going to take to really have your message heard. And she's also the founder of Rock the Room and creator of Risk Forward, and recently did a TED Talk. Victoria LeBalm, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Mastin. I'm so happy to be here.
It's kind of like today is like, if someone is meeting you for the first time, it's kind of like, it's like someone who I'm so excited to bring forward, and I'm excited for them, because it's like I remember one of my favorite TV shows is Homeland. And like when people would tell me that they were going to watch Homeland for the first time, I got so jealous, because there's only a first time that you get to do that. And if this is someone's first time meeting you, I'm so excited, because it's just not – life will be different after this conversation. I know that for sure. So you have worked – well, first of all, we've met through Jeff Walker's Mastermind.
That's right.
And you have worked in the arts yourself. You have worked with the great Marcel Marceau. You have been in performance. And now you find yourself in this strange world called entrepreneurs – online entrepreneurs, people who are making a difference. And you also work in corporate. But people come to you because they want to make an impact. They come to you because they want to speak. And I'm not talking just like people who are just getting started. You're working with like New York Times best-selling authors. You're working with CEOs of megala corporations. What is it about communication and public speaking and getting your message out there that requires people to like, why do you do what you do? Like, what is it about communication, about putting yourself out there, that requires, you know, a coach and someone to help connect?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think inside of everyone is hidden genius that often is not coming out, even if you're already a New York Times bestseller, or if you're a top executive or an entrepreneur of great standing. Inside of everyone, full spectrum, like full colors, all these opportunities and ideas and ingenious insights that often are not coming out. And it takes sometimes a guide to let those come out, someone who can affirm and encourage and support and guide the way those answers emerge.
I think that's awesome, because I can tell you, like, I like to talk about things for someone who's just getting started. But just before we do that, you know, what's fascinating to me is, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And what I've noticed is the more successful, quote, successful that I get, sometimes the success increases, but the authenticity decreases.
Right.
And I've seen that happen in my own life. And in fact, just even recently, we did a Prosper launch, and, you know, a lot of people in the Platt group and my clients were like, dude, the guy that I see on stage and the guy that I'm talking to here is not the guy in that video. Like, what is the difference? Like, the second right. You get in front of a camera, like, you change. Why do people do that? Like, why is it that you can be like one way, like with your friends, you can be authentic and awesome, and then the second you get in front of a prompter and, you know, camera, then you are talking like a robot? Like, why do you think people lose authenticity sometimes when they become, you know, more seen, more visible on out there?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. I think it's a variety of reasons, and you touched on a few. I mean, first off, people have this misconception that who they have to be on stage is different. So when I coach people, they come in and they have all these awkward gestures like you were referring to, and they think that they have to stand a certain way if they're on stage. And what they don't realize is that who they are, and I'll say this to everyone listening, who you are as you are is more than enough. And part of what I do is really pull away what gets in the way. So sometimes people technically just don't know how to handle a camera. And that's something that we can fix easily with technicality, because they just think, oh, there's a camera. Where do I look? What do I do with my hands? How do I move between the teleprompter and the actual lens? And those things are easy to fix technically. But the core of it is that who you are on camera is plenty good. And oftentimes what's fascinating is that people will be less animated on camera or on stage than they are in real life.
But like,
they shut down parts of who they are.
You know, it's interesting you say this, because like, just the other day, like, it's partly inspired by you, you know, we released this Prosper blooper reel thing, which I haven't sent to the group yet, but I will. And like 99.99999% of people were like, this is the best thing you've ever released. This is incredible. Like, I'm cussing. I mean, we bleep it out, but like, people were loving it. And this one woman wrote in and was like, how dare you cuss? Like, you should change yourself to please other people, and you're going to turn me off, and you should really think about it. You look really raw and undeveloped and all this type of stuff. And like, for all the positive comments and for all the training I've had to focus on the good, and for all the times I know that when you do something like that, you're going to polarize your audience, I could not get this woman's response out of my head, because it was almost like she was reaffirming like all the things that I was scared of. What is it about that raw, real side of us that, why does that happen? Like, why do I identify with that person when I have so much more social proof from all the other comments that thinks that it's like really awesome, you know? Because I took it in, but like, it's just that negative email. Like, I was thinking about it for like a couple of days, and I was just like, I want to shake it off. Why do we do that?
I don't know. Honestly, I think somewhere inside of each of us is we want to be loved by everyone. So if we get 99 people who love us, the one person who doesn't, it just, we feel somehow we failed in that respect. Or contrary to that, it somehow sometimes can go to the core of what you know to be true. So maybe there is a part of you that's like, maybe I shouldn't be cussing. And it brings that up. And sometimes we have a lot of yes people around us. So I always say, first off, is that input statistically significant? So if you've, you know, thousands of people who are loving it and three who are not, that's worth evaluating. Secondarily, consider the source. It could be the only person who's speaking the truth, whereas everyone else is a yes person. So I think we have to evaluate it against all those different types of contexts.
Yeah.
But for the most part, what you're experiencing is so normal. When I did comedy, I was on Caroline's on Broadway briefly, and I did other shows around the city and on the West Coast, and in the comedic world, oftentimes, you know, you'd have the whole room laughing, but one person would get up and walk out and you would be bummed out.
Totally.
You know? Right?
Totally.
So,
I remember that.
You know, it's common.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying you're normal. Welcome to the club.
Yeah, totally. I remember like one of the very first seminars I ever gave, like someone got up and left and I couldn't get over it. God, like what did I say? They were just going to the bathroom. You know,
exactly. Like, exactly. And I learned that. I used to do that when I, you know, in theater, when you audition, you know, if someone looks down during your audition, it could be because they're moved. or mm-hmm. made them think of their kid. It could be that they're connecting versus, you know, disconnecting.
Totally. So be careful with the meaning. So like what you said about like evaluating the truth. So like, how can you tell when like someone's telling you the truth and when like it's just BS? Because like if anyone's ever been to my seminars, my retreats, you know, you talk to me at all, like I'm going to say the word fuck at least once,
right.
if not more than once. And it seems to be catching on at the last Hay House I Can Do It event back in Florida. Like Chris Carr said fuck like 6 times at least on stage. Right. And she's Chris Carr, you know what I mean? So,
right.
but like, so how do you know like when it's like, because I really think this idea of authenticity is a really interesting zone. How do you know when it's like maybe you're in your authenticity and then when you should listen to someone who's telling you the truth? It seems like a funny delineation. Do you have any thoughts around
funny
that?
Delineation. Well, I think in part you have to decide for yourself, is it core to your brand? Is it necessary? I mean, someone like Jerry Seinfeld does not curse on stage. And for him, and this is separate from your situation, but he would say, and I'm paraphrasing, that comedians can be a crutch. And
yes,
I think for us, sometimes we're not using our language as effectively as we might because it's easier to say a curse word than it is to articulate something or to replace it. Sometimes it's for effect. Sometimes it's because we do want to polarize our audience. We say, look, if you can't handle this, then it's not the right, you're not the right audience. And that may be serving you. It's certainly a great way, as you said earlier, to polarize.
Totally. Totally. That's
but
fascinating.
But I think for yourself, it's really what's important to you. And is that critical? And is it worth it? Is it giving you what you want?
Yes.
Does it further your message? And ultimately, that's what you're asking. Does it further your message?
Yeah, totally. I love that. So what do you do with someone like, I know that you've worked with so many people you've worked with, it's hard to name them all, but like, let's just, you know, any high performer, any New York Times bestselling author, how do you get them back into their authenticity? Like, do you have like a special, meditation that you do? Is it like a secret sauce? How do you work with people to like get them out of their head and into their body, into their authenticity?
Yeah, well, out of their head and into their body is a good way to begin, because I always think the body never lies. There's a quote by Martha Graham, the great choreographer, and she said, movement never lies. It is a barometer telling the state of the soul's weather.
Mm-hmm.
Movement never lies. It's
wow.
a barometer telling the state of the soul's weather. And I think that's true. I think our bodies, I mean, some people have pretty good poker faces and they can stand a certain way, but I think for me, when I'm working with someone privately, I immediately pay attention to their physicality and how they express themselves and how animated they are and the rhythms and the tones of their voice, so that when they get in front of me or in front of an audience or on camera, I can see the difference. That being said, for all of you listening, I mean, I think the way to handle it is really to say, am I, you sort of have a third eye watching. Am I the same now as I am when I'm presenting one-on-one, or and what's the discrepancy there? So part of the technique is observation, number one. Secondarily, to be paying attention to your body and that, are you comfortable? Which is why it's important to wear clothes that are comfortable and to set yourself up in an environment that's comfortable so that right away your body can let you be free. And the third piece is really the strategies that I would teach around how do you structure a presentation or any communication, even on the phone or like this master or in a podcast, so that you have what I call structured spontaneity. You have a structure, but it's not so tight. It's not like a script where you're tight to the rails so that you can't express yourself and have a riff at a moment and throw in an extra comment. So you want to have both that framework and the freedom within it.
It's so funny you say that. You know, we had gotten together right before the I Can Do It event in Florida. And I was like, I'm going to go out there and just wear what makes me feel comfortable. So like I was going to, my I was going to go there in a black t-shirt, my black pants and sandals. That's how I was going to go out. And my team kind of talked me out of sandals, so I put my black shoes back on, and it was still pretty comfortable. But
yeah.
I actually had 3 people come up to me in the line afterwards and said, you know, I want to thank you because you're the only one that looked up comfortable up there. It looked like everybody else was just like in these suits or whatever it might be, and they look very rigid. And you just look very comfortable. And I was like, wow, like that's like I've never heard someone say that before. But it actually relaxes the audience too, you know, which is fascinating,
yeah.
you know. And one of the things that Chris Carr said on stage is she was talking about like all her beauty. She was wearing this beautiful sparkly dress on stage. And she said, just so you guys know, like I'm a pajamas girl. This, and she was pointing to her dress. She's like, this is for you. And the second I get home, it's going in the closet until I need it again for you later. You know, like,
that's great.
It was so funny, you know. So
I love that authenticity. Yeah, and she calls it out.
Yeah, it's so good. So, okay, so let's talk about someone who maybe they've done, they're just thinking about starting their business, or they want to speak publicly more, and they're kind of in the beginning of this. You know, I read a statistic recently that people are more scared of public speaking than they are of death.
Right.
So, like, what is it about public? I mean, I can tell you, even to this day, I could be speaking in front of 15 people or 4,000 people. I get real jittery. What is it about public speaking that is so nerve-wracking?
Well, I think it goes back to the idea that the misconception, how I'll put it that way, that people are being judged. I mean, we all think if we're up in front of a group of 5,000 or 5,000 that we're being evaluated. And I always tell people that if you're feeling nervous and you're feeling judged, it's because the focus is on yourself. And Mastin, you've heard me talk a lot about this, but the key is to direct your attention and your through line, the driving force behind what you do and your message here, towards service, in service of the audience. And the moment you're thinking about them and serving them and helping them, the nerves will come off of you.
I love that. And so I can say that is 100% true. When I focus on that, everything changes. Now, you just said something that I was going to get into, but now we're getting into it now. Through line. So tell me about this idea of, I know that this is something that you've sort of created and this idea that you're bringing forward. What is a through line and why does it matter?
Yeah. Well, through line is originally a theater term that was coined by Stanislavski, the great Russian theater artist. And it's getting used a lot now in the world. It's come out in the zeitgeist, if you will. And what he intended it for was the driving force behind a character's behavior in a play. So every character is driven in a play towards something. And I've applied that to our lives, or in a smaller context to a presentation or a communication or any kind of expression of an idea, whether it's a book or a blog. And so what's driving that? And I think of it really as a verb. So it's not a theme, and it's not your purpose in life, and it's not your passion. So your passion might be a particular, you know, activity or career choice at the time, but your through line is really what's driving behind all of what you do. And then in the scene of, let's say, a communication or your book or a meeting, what's driving that? What are you really there to do? And as I referenced earlier, you're there to help or to serve or to inspire. As long as it's helping others, you're on the right track.
So I love that idea. You know, one of the things that you talked about when you had this one of our mastermind meetings is this idea of, like, how to determine what inauthenticity is. And could you talk a little bit about, like, how the through line plays into either, like, coming off as an authentic or inauthentic speaker? Because I think that's such a really – and this isn't just being a speaker. This is, like, even in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, one-to-one, it would be true, too.
Right.
Completely. How does authenticity or the lack thereof and through line kind of play together?
Yeah. Well, I'll take it in two parts. The first is if your through line's pointed towards yourself, like to prove yourself or to show off, which
yes.
A lot of people have as a through line unconsciously, or they're still trying to prove themselves to their parents, it creates a certain type of behavior. So if you're presenting in a one-on-one meeting or on the podcast, I could drop all the names of all the famous people and blah, 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 and try to show off, but that's not going to serve the audience. So it's really, first off, which direction the through line pointed, and it's towards the service. The second piece is really if your through line is not in sync, it's not in alignment with who you really are, you will come off as inauthentic. And if you have bad coaching or bad structure, and let's say I have a script that's written for me by someone else and I'm trying to say all these things, then I'm going to completely sound inauthentic because it's not organic to my style, my message, my speaking rhythm. So I'm not, by the way, on that note, and you've heard me talk about this, I'm not a fan of having someone else write your script for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's not you. And I'm not a fan of people ever writing a script word for word when they speak, because the written and the spoken word are totally different art forms.
Yes, 100%. 100%. So how do you know if your through line is aligned with who you are? Like, how do you figure that out? Like, for example, one of my through lines is, like, you know, obediently trust your intuition no matter what. You know, like, that's a big through line of mine. How can you know whether you're in integrity with that or not. Like, because you, I mean, the key word is authenticity, right? So like, authenticity is what goes viral. Authenticity is what connects through a blog or a book or a, you know, right. a speaking or just even in a relationship, people want the authentic you. So how do you, is there any way to kind of delineate like how to figure out what your through line is and then how that might be related to who you really are? Because this sounds like pretty much like one of the most important things, not just as a speaker entrepreneur you can figure out, but just as a human being. It sounds like a really, really, really vital skill.
Yeah. Well, I think when your through line is authentic, you're going to feel inside a sense of peace. Now, that may not mean that it's always easy. So your through line may take you into some challenging situations because it takes courage to follow your through line. It may mean turning down a big opportunity because inside you know it's not the right thing or it's not a full expression of yourself. But it means that somewhere deep inside you can sleep at night. And it's yes. something that you go to the mat for. So if you were going to stand up and be bold and speak about this or defend someone's honor, defend someone's decisions to help them, is that angle that you're taking, that through line, truly authentic to you? And we all know that to be true. We say, yes. I would go to Matt for this.
No matter what.
My name. As I often say, like, a nice way to look at it is, what are you the PR for, the public relations for? What do you want to be known for?
Totally.
Isn't that great? Like, what are you the PR for? And, or, here's another way to look at it, is years after you're gone, and that could be from someone's life, like you used to work with someone, or after you're gone from this earth, how do you want people to talk about you? What is the element you were known for advocating?
Yes. Yes.
She always was, or he so believed in blah, 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 and encouraged me. You represent it yourself, you embody it, and you also encourage others to do it covertly or overtly.
Okay, so I want to apply this to something like in my life so that I can get like an example, because I love examples. So let's just say that my through line is to obediently trust my intuition, okay?
Yeah.
And let's say I'm going to give a talk. Like, for example, my very first Hay House talk, right? Like 3,000-4,000 people in New York City at the Javits Center or something like that. I was so scared. Like, I was like, oh my God. And I had all these thoughts like, am I enough? Can I make the value? Like, could I do all these different types of things? I went out there and I was like so almost overly energetic, you know? And it wasn't really like in alignment with who I was because my intuition was just like, be yourself. But I was out there like trying to like essentially like prove myself, right? And so like I definitely got, you know, people excited and there was value there. But what happened was about a year and a half, 2 years later, I went on a book tour and I did 35 cities in 30 cities in 35 days. And about 15 cities in, because it was just like talk after talk after talk after talk, I was like just so getting worn down by so many talks and so much time, I stopped caring what other people thought like 15 cities in. And it was a great service because I got just to just be myself from now on stage. Now, not a lot of people are going to have the benefit of like doing 30 cities in 35 days on a tour bus for a book launch. Is there another way to kind of break the pattern of trying to prove yourself, show yourself, whatever it might be, and step into authenticity when you're speaking? Because I've noticed a distinguished difference between, you know, when I used to communicate and how I communicate now, because like I could say something like, do you feel me? And the people are like, yes. And before there was just like a disconnect, there was lack of connection. So how do you drop into who you are when you're speaking?
Yeah. Well, I think first I would say that for you, I would adjust your through line to, you said to obediently trust myself as your through line. And my hunch is you're more noble than that. I think of your through line, I always call it, I have a phrase called your noble intent.
Yes.
Your through line is your noble intent. It's really, so for you, Mastin, I think your noble intent, I think your through line here is not about obediently trusting yourself. It's about helping others obediently trust their own intuition.
Yes.
It's not about me. It's not about how can I trust. It's like, how can I use my skills? And this is the other way, is how do you harness the full spectrum, your skills, your talents for the benefit of others? So yours is to help other people. You're going to use your badassery and your physicality and your energy and your focus and your casualness and your love in your heart to help others.
That gets me even more fired up. Oh, so it's not like I'm on stage thinking, I got to trust my intuition here. I'm still focused on me. I got to be focused on, that even lights me up even more to be focused on them, helping them trust their intuition. Because I could like get fired up about that. God, that's so awesome. I get like, this is cool. I get the podcast with you. I get to get personally coached at the same time.
Private coaching, yeah.
This is good.
So, right. I mean, some people have as their through line unconsciously to be the best, to be the number one, to be the premier provider. I've looked at a lot of these phrases that people say unconsciously or consciously. You know, they're like, I want to be the best, or I want to be the number one speaker, or I want to be. But ultimately, it's really how do you serve the audience? So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, gosh, I've already forgotten what the second part of your question was sort of how do I.
Oh,
how do you do that? Oh, I know, for people who don't have all the bookstores.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, you know, a nice way to look at it is, and this is a profound way, but it's a quick way, is if you were to go stand up on the moon, like imagine standing up on the moon.
I'm there.
And look, okay? And now look back at the Earth the way you see it in those photos of outer space, and it's this blue, green
globe. Yeah.
Right? So from out there, looking back at you like a microscopic dot on the planet Earth, like, what are you really trying to do?
Yeah.
Why are you on this planet? What are you trying to do? And in the end, what's the nobility behind your work? Because it's not about the books and the speaking. It's about a bigger message, which for you might be something like helping people trust their intuition, be as big as they can be in their world.
Yes.
Or express themselves, right?
Yes. Yes. Oh,
yeah.
My God. I love that. I love that, love that, love that.
So for all of you listening, you know, when you're thinking like, I'm just on this phone call, or I don't have this or that in my business or my life yet, that is so okay. And I want to just offer everyone a caveat right now that, you know, leaving a legacy and making an impact, as everyone else says in our world, it doesn't mean you have to publish a bestseller. It doesn't mean you have to be on stage. It doesn't mean you're the biggest blog ever. Look, if you're touching 5 people's lives, you're doing a service, and you leave a legacy in all kinds of ways. Some of you through children, some of you through the way you leave flowers for someone, some of the way you talk to a neighbor. We leave our legacy in all types of ways. You know, and I think we have to take the pressure off ourselves to be huge, and who you are is more than enough. And as long as you come from a place of service, you know, you're rocking it.
Amen. I love that. I think that's amazing. So let's take it back even one step further. What if someone's saying, you know what? I hear you. I want to make my intention about serving other people, but who am I to serve? Who am I to be someone who could even affect change? Like, isn't that kind of like, not even egotistical, but it just seems like so far beyond, because like, I just don't think that I can actually be someone to affect change. If someone's in that, but they also at the same time feel that calling. Right? Like, is there anything you can say that insecurity or that lack of, confidence?
Right. Well, it's really common, and to make it, you know, one thing that's worth saying just to make people feel better is that even the top people have what's called the imposter syndrome. It's like, really, little old me? I'm the CEO. Little old me. I'm the bestseller. Like, there's a part of everyone who's like, who am I kidding here? So that's common, even at the top levels. And then I'd also say that, you know, I think we build our confidence through the experience. So, you know, you do it in a small level. You help someone, you publish a little blurb or a blog, or you send someone a piece of a chapter of a book, or you try a little Facebook Live, and you get a good response, and that builds the confidence. So I always say, you know, risk forward, which is one of my themes. And risking forward, the whole theme behind risk forward is it's not, you know, go for your goals and, you know, leap and the net will appear. It's like, how do we move forward in this ginger way, a little off balance, heart open, and heading into the unknown, and to take those scary steps and to try it just a little bit. And that place of courage of putting your heart forward and not even being sure it's going to work is where it all happens. So I think we build that sense of self and that, wow, I do have a right to speak, and I do have a right to share my ideas and my message little by little.
I love that idea of moving forward, even though you're not sure what's going to happen. This idea of risking forward, I think, is such a great piece of advice. It's like timeless and so true and so essential. Is there like a time in your life where you weren't sure of the outcome, but you risked forward?
Absolutely.
Is there like one time that comes to mind the most?
Well, the one that comes to mind the most is really recent about, well, it's going to sound not recent, but the results are recent, which is a few years ago, I had this idea to make a little film. I just thought, you know, why not?
Thank you for listening to the Power and Purpose podcast with Mastin Kipp. We hope that you enjoyed today's conversation between Mastin and Victoria Lebaum. This was only a sample for the interview. To get access to the entire conversation, visit mastinkipp.com/21. That's mastinkipp.com/21. We have a lot more great interviews, coaching conversations, and interventions to help you learn to power your purpose here on the podcast. Subscribe to the show to make sure you get every episode as soon as it is released. Visit mastinkipp.com/subscribe for more. Between now and our next episode, get out there, take action, and make it real.
Hey, it's Mastin. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. And before we wrap up, if you found value in this, one of the best ways to get this trauma-informed information to the world, if that's something that you want to do and to be a part of, spreading the word, I would be so very grateful if you could leave a review on Apple or Spotify podcasts so that you can review this and hopefully it's a good review, but please leave an honest review. And especially if you want to leave a 5-star review, I would be super stoked on that. But of course, just make it honest. But my goal is to share more trauma-informed information with the world. And I need your help to spread this information, and reviews matter. So if you feel called to do that, we'd very much appreciate it. If you got value from this episode and from this podcast, we'd very much appreciate it. And thank you so much for hearing me out. And if you feel called, please leave a review on Apple or Spotify, and we'll see you in the next episode.